Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God our Father and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
And you forgive the guilt of my sin.
Forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
I will speak of your testimonies before kings, O Lord,
and shall not be put to shame.
I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever.
With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness.
Let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord.
Your faithfulness in the assembly of the holy ones.
Blessed are the people who know the festal shout.
Who walk, O Lord, in the light of your face.
Who exalt in your name all the day.
And in your righteousness are exalted.
Amen. Heavenly Father, you revealed to the Apostle Peter the blessed truth that your Son, Jesus, is the Christ. Strengthen us by the proclamation of this truth, that we too may joyfully confess that there is salvation in no one else. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The first reading for the Confession of St. Peter is from the book of Acts, the 4th chapter. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed? Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. This is the word.
Thanks be to God.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it.
I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation.
The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord.
The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us.
Bind the vessel sacrificed with cords up to the horns of the altar.
You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The reading from the letters is from the second letter of St. Peter, the first chapter. Simeon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that putting off my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, "John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, but turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And he called to him the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son,
who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who is saved by the prophets.
And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church.
I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins,
and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text is from the first reading, the book of Acts, the fourth chapter. St. Peter confessed by what power or name the crippled man had been healed. He said, "Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved."
Amen.
This is our text. The Christian church is full of surprises. The Christian church is full of surprises. By surprises, I don't mean some sort of special knowledge or secret spiritual power. The church doesn't have secrets like that. In fact, whatever secrets it has, whatever mysteries have been given to the church, it reveals them. What it has for the world, it makes known openly and boldly. Why, we even encourage people to read the Bible. We don't want anything hidden, but brought out. And when I say the Christian church is full of surprises, I also don't mean the dark secrets or hidden sins that may come to mind. You will, of course, find such things wherever you find fallen human beings. Darkness and sin aren't at all surprising. We should never be surprised by them. They're sadly normal. But God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. What surprises me today isn't the discovery of a secret or of a sin. What surprises me is that we'll spend Sunday morning, some time on Sunday morning in snowy 21st century New England, talking about a first century Galilean fisherman named Peter. That's really surprising. I mean, here's a guy whose name we shouldn't know and we shouldn't care anything about him. When the Jewish leaders saw and heard St. Peter, they saw him as an uneducated and common man. You might say in our own language that he was a bumpkin and an idiot with bad grammar. And I use the word idiot because that's actually the root word in the Greek language. Not too different, I suppose, than what many people would say about us Christians even today. Backwards, misguided, and pathetic. But St. Peter is more than just your average bumpkin. He's, and bear with me again on the language for a minute, he's the chief bumpkin and the lead idiot. The Gospels demonstrate this. How many times do we watch St. Peter fall flat on his face? He would walk on water with Jesus, and then he panics when he sees the wind and the waves. He'll never, never, no, not ever abandon Jesus. And then mere hours later, he denies ever knowing the Lord. Not under the threat of death, but because a little girl at a campfire thought that he sounded like he'd been with Jesus. He confesses Jesus to be the Christ, and then suffers rebuke with the words, "Get behind me, Satan, for you aren't setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And this is the guy from nowhere first century that we talk about today in central Massachusetts. I mean, I think that's what we should find surprising, how God uses someone like St. Peter to confess the truth and to make it known. When the Jewish leaders hauled Peter and John in to give an account of this crippled man who was healed, it says they were astonished by what they heard. For they recognized that they, Peter and John, had been with Jesus. They recognized that they had been with Jesus. That little line to me says it all. We could easily miss it. You know, Bible verses like this that you've read 1,001 times, but never noticed until the 1,002nd time. They recognized that they had been with Jesus. What people were seeing and hearing was the fruit of Peter's having been with Jesus during his 3 years of ministry, and even more, of their having been with Jesus who had been crucified, but whom God had raised from the dead. A bumpkin, an idiot, who has a backwards way of speaking, who doesn't seem to know what he's talking about, who doesn't belong speaking with Jewish religious leaders, but they recognized that he had been with Jesus. Wouldn't it be great if the same were said about us? That when people interact with us, when they hear us, when they observe what we do, even if they don't agree with our beliefs, that they would walk away recognizing that we had been with Jesus? What if on Monday morning at the office or on the job site or at school, people were to look at us and think, hey, those are people who've been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. And I want to suggest to you that one of the most significant things that happens to us week in and week out is that we have been with Jesus. And when I say that we have been with Jesus, I don't mean in some sort of mystical, super spiritual way. I mean that we have been with Jesus because Jesus is here in his holy word and he is here in this holy sacrament. We have been with Jesus. And that's what makes all the difference. It's what made all the difference for St. Peter. That's why we're talking about him today. It's not because there was some special merit or virtue in Peter. It wasn't because he was such an amazing guy who had done so many amazing things. It wasn't because of his boldness, and it isn't because of his sin. It's because he had been with Jesus and of what he confesses about Jesus. We heard how Jesus went with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he puts a question to them. We'll come back to this question in a minute. But he puts a question to them. Who do people say that I am? Well, they knew. They'd been listening to what people were saying about Jesus. Well, someone said you're John the Baptist. And I think I heard someone else say you're Elijah or maybe one of the prophets. Jesus, there are all sorts of ideas out there about you. And then he says, but who do you say that I am? And Peter answers. He answers not just for himself, not just for all of the apostles who are gathered there, but for the entire church of all times and of all places. He confesses the truth. You, Jesus, are the Christ. You are the promised one, whom God spoke of through the Old Testament, whom he made known by the types and the people and the events and the institutions that were established and with the prophecies that were made. You are that one, the Son of the living God. Jesus, in Matthew's gospel, praises Peter for this confession. He says, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but the Father who is in heaven has made it known." Confessing the truth about Jesus is not something that St. Peter figured out on his own. It's not something that he just happened to stumble into or make sense of. It was revealed to him. It was given to him from above. We see St. Paul confess this as well in his letters. He says, "No one can say that Jesus is Lord apart from the Holy Spirit." He says, "Whoever confesses with his mouth and believes in his heart will be saved." Peter confesses. Now, he doesn't understand fully yet what he confesses. He believes that Jesus is the Christ, and he seems to have this idea that as the Christ, he's going to be the swashbuckling military hero who delivers them from Rome. And then Jesus starts talking about suffering and dying and crucifixion. And Peter says, "Jesus, you got it all wrong. That's not what we're talking about. You're the Christ. You don't have to suffer. You don't have to die. You don't have to be crucified." And that's when Jesus says to him, "Get behind me, Satan. For you are setting your mind not on the things of God, but on the things of man." Jesus is the Christ. And he is the Christ who came to suffer and to die for sinners. And that is how he would be known. Not simply as a man of power on earth, but a man who showed the love of God to the world when he was crucified upon the cross. And that's what Peter comes to confess. Not only that Jesus is the Christ, but that he is the Christ who was crucified and risen from the dead. As he said to those Jewish leaders, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him, this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. You see, St. Peter recognizes that what the church is built upon is not him, not Peter, not the apostles, but upon Jesus, who is the cornerstone and the confession of his name. It is at the name of Jesus that every knee shall bow, and it is at the name of Jesus that every sinner shall be saved. There is salvation in no one else, St. Peter says, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Peter would have us see and hear Jesus. He doesn't want to talk about himself, but he wants to talk about a different first century man of Galilee, the one who was hung upon a cross and killed as the Christ, the Son of God. That's what Peter confesses. That's what he would make known to you and me today. When we say the confession of St. Peter, we don't mean a confession of sin. Certainly Peter could confess sin, and he did confess sin, but what we're talking about is his confession of faith, what he believes. And here's something I want you to think of today and throughout this week. Everyone has a confession. Every single person whom you meet confesses something. They believe things, whether they know it or not, whether they're aware of their own beliefs or not, they believe things about themselves, about the world, about ultimate reality, about spiritual powers or God. And everyone confesses something about Jesus. When you meet someone this week, if you have an opportunity to talk about your faith at all, you could simply start with this question. Who do you think Jesus is? Who is this man whose name is known around the world and placed upon so many churches? Who is Jesus? And what has he done? And I think you'll be amazed by the variety of answers you might hear. Everyone has an opinion, an idea, a confession about Jesus. John the Baptist, Elijah, one of the prophets, a great teacher, a radical and revolutionary, a made-up figure. They'll have something to say. But then Jesus puts the question to you and to me. Who do you say that I am? You see, we are all invited to give answer to what Jesus asks. The church of every age has this question put to them again. Who do you say that I am? What will we confess about this Jesus of Nazareth? The confession that we make is a confession that comes not from us. We don't need to make up our own ideas about who Jesus is. The confession we have is a confession that comes from God. It's revealed and given by God himself through the Holy Spirit in Holy Scripture. That's where we come up with our confession. We confess the Nicene Creed already. And in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, conceived by the Holy Spirit, crucified, died, risen, ascended, returning again in glory. This is what we confess. These are the things of God. This is what we bear witness to with our mouths and with our lives. Because this is the confession of the Christian church of all times and all places, beginning there with St. Peter at Caesarea Philippi. And this confession is the rock, you might say, the foundation upon which the whole church is built. You can have something that's called a church, I suppose, but if they do not confess Jesus in this way, then they are not a Christian church. Then you cannot go there and have people recognize that you had been with Jesus. This confession comes not from the authority of a man, but it is the ministry of this confession which Peter made, upon which the church is built, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that he was crucified, died, and was buried, and rose again and ascended into heaven for us sinners and for our salvation. Let this be the confession that is in our mouth. Last Sunday we heard about the baptism of our Lord, how sinners were baptized, and we as sinners have been baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus because Jesus is in the water. And today we hear about the confession that comes out of that, how we confess Christ, to Jesus to be the Christ. And that confession continues. We stand in continuity with St. Peter and with the church throughout the ages, not only in that we are sinners who have often fallen flat on our faces, that's true, but we stand in continuity with Peter and the church of all ages in confessing that Jesus is the Christ. And what a Christ we have. What a marvelous thing that he has done. That the one who has the name above every name came and took our place here on earth as sinners, conquered death, overcame the devil, and rose with a life that never ends, and gives that life to us still. They recognized that they had been with Jesus. So let us pray that God would enable us this week to confess with our mouths that Jesus is the Christ. And let us pray that he would grant us grace to confess with our lives as well. And if you fall flat on your face this week, then make that your confession as well by confessing your sin and looking to him for forgiveness, living by the life that he gives to you. This is the confession given to you. This is the confession you make. This is the confession by which you live. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Call upon his name. Live as his people. And let this surprise be at work in your life. The surprise that God would reveal this to an ordinary person, to a broken tool like St. Peter, to people like us, and that he would use that ordinary, bold, weak, restored man to proclaim Jesus and to build the church upon him. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Father's home.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For boldness of faith, that our Heavenly Father would receive our thanks and praise this day for St. Peter and his confession that Jesus is the Christ, and that he would strengthen this same faith within us as well. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Church of God, guarded by the Lord, who bore the wood of the cross, that her ministers and people may be certain that the gates of hell cannot prevail against us, and for the strengthening of our faith, that we may trample every power of the enemy underfoot, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all Christian marriages, especially for Rich and Denise Verano, celebrating 24 years of holy marriage, that husbands and wives would daily practice mutual love, respect, and understanding, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our president, our governor, and all elected and appointed leaders, that the light of the Lord may shine upon our nation. For the people of Minneapolis, that restraint, compassion, and unity may prevail. And for the guidance of the authorities to act justly and responsibly. For the nations of the world and all who dwell in them, in particular for the people of Iran, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ, for their protection, guidance, and daily provision, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who are sick or in any need, for Linny's niece, Nicole, and for the bringing of her brother to faith, for Jim and Ayla's neighbor, Sue, in hospice care, for Cheryl's neighbor, Ron, and his family, for Hattie, in critical condition, Luann, awaiting another surgery, Lee, who is weak, as well as for Judy, Brady, Heather and Mike and their family, Jim, Karen, Kate, Olivia, Rick and Teresa, Tony and Libby, and Verity, that the great physician of body and soul would give them rest, healing, and relief. For those who mourn, especially for the family and friends of Richard, and for Sue and her family at the death of her mother, Jackie. For Eldon's friend, Mike, with thanksgiving for his medical miracle and health. For the Arpino's neighbors who are caught up in this terrible tragedy, that they would have peace. For all expectant mothers and their children, especially Jamie, Catherine, Emma, and Jordan. For those who are unemployed, underemployed, or who struggle with work and have anxiety about their daily bread. And for us all, that casting every anxiety on him, we would live in the certainty of his steadfast love. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For First Concern Pregnancy Resource Center, CareNet, Clearway Clinic, and Problem Pregnancy, for their staff, volunteers, and clients, that their work would prosper so that mothers, fathers, and the children they have would flourish. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who receive the Holy Supper today, that they may faithfully receive it for the forgiveness of sins and be sustained until Christ returns in glory. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For grace to take up the cross and follow the Lord wherever he leads, for courage in the face of challenge and adversity, and for compassion and harmony in our life together, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Truly meet, right, and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. For you have mightily governed and protected your holy church, in which the blessed apostles and evangelists proclaimed your divine and saving gospel. Therefore, with patriarchs and prophets, apostles and evangelists, with your servant Peter and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you. Our psalm today is Psalm 19, a psalm of prophecy. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The heavens declare the glory of God. The sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In them he has set his tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs the course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them. There is nothing hidden in the heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, revealing the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. His precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true, and righteousness together. More to be desired are they in gold than even fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is a great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent of hidden faults. Keep back your servant, so that the presumptuous sins, let them have no dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and the innocent with great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen. Thank you, all-powerful God, for refreshing us with this healing gift. And we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food, make us strong in faith toward you and a deep love for each other, that through us other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Blessed be the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.